everybody, and welcome to another True Stories from Tinseltown. And what a show I have for you today. Swoon. I am swooning here because my dreamboat, David Selby, has made a long-awaited return. Yay! Hey, welcome back.
I like that term, dreamboat.
You are my dreamboat. I can't help it. You're dreamy. Hey. I've missed you, and thanks so much for coming on. And I know people miss you because I still get asked, have you heard from David? Have you heard from David? Have you heard from David? And I said, no. So when somebody asks me, have I heard from David? I can say yes, and I can play this. So how are you, my dearest?
I am fine. I'm doing what all of us are doing, you know. Hoarding lockdown under house arrest.
You're not hoarding so toilet paper, I hope.
Right.
That is the freakiest stuff ever. The hoarding of toilet paper.
Yeah.
I had just never got that. Jeez, peeps.
I know.
Weird.
Unbelievable. But anyway, I'm doing fine. And
Chip is great.
Thinking about everybody out there. And praying that, hey, you all out there, if you're listening or whatever, stay safe, you know.
Yeah, be careful.
Love to all of you.
Yes, mucho love. And so I want to ask you, Mr. David Selby. I was going to ask you this question. I actually asked you it via text. We weren't doing the show. But I wanted to know how you got the part with Babs in the movie that you did. What is the name of that wonderful movie?
Up the Sandbox.
Yes.
You're referring to Babs.
As Barbara Streisand. Yeah. And I read that that was her first movie that she did with the production company that she formed with Sidney Poitier and I believe Steve McQueen and somebody else. So she was in charge of hiring you, right?
Right. Well, what was that company? First Artist?
Yeah.
She was. I mean, sure, she had a large say in it. But when I was doing a play in New York at the time, mm-hmm. and, you know, it was a conflict. I mean, they, you know, wanted me to keep doing the play, but they also understood, you know, that perhaps there was this film. And so what I did, I took about 3 days off, and I had a wonderful understudy in New York who went on for me. And I flew out to L.A. to meet Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And where was it? Oh, it was over at Fox, 20th uh-huh. Century Fox. So I stayed, you know, at a hotel there, right up the block from Fox. And the next day I walked down and went back and we all met. We met. I had met the director.
Right.
Irving Kirshner. And Kirsch was he's a terrific, terrific man who directed, I believe, was it Empire Strikes Back? The second Star Wars, you know,
uh-huh.
feature. And among other things, I believe he had directed my friend Joanne Woodward in a piece. But I'll have to think back on that or look it up. But anyway, I met them finally because after I was doing this play and Kirsch had come to see the play and he didn't think that character in the play would make an ideal character to play opposite Barbara. And the character opposite Barbara was a teacher. And his name was Paul. I remember that. And anyway, when I met with Kirsch in New York, and he said, well, the character committed suicide in the end.
Oh, sad.
Of this play called Sticks and Bones.
Yikes.
And, the play was a hit anyway, but he took some Polaroid pictures of me real quick and he pointed to one and he said, that's Paul. And of course, I had no clue. But anyway, out of that, a little time later, I flew out. They asked me to fly out to California to talk with Barbara. And so I did. And we had a nice chat.
Where'd you chat? Where did you guys yak?
Yak at 20th Century Fox.
Oh, so you were just at the studio in one of her offices or something?
Some office there. That was it. I flew back to New York, and my agent, lovely man, Ed LaMotto, lovely, long time, the only agent I ever had until now, you know, because he passed away several years ago. But he called me and said, well, Barbara said you didn't talk very much. So they weren't sure what to make of it.
When you met? Were you intimidated by her a little bit?
I don't know. I was probably quiet. I didn't have a lot to say. I may have been intimidated a lot. I loved her voice, and she had, I can't remember if I'd seen her in film up to that time. Anyway, I ended up, a few days later, they said, okay, let's do it. So she agreed. I gave my notice. A friend of mine went on for me in L.A. and took my role, Peter Coyote. I think it was Peter.
He's a great actor. I like him.
You're kidding me. He was wonderful. And I think that's who. Anyway, yeah, it was Peter. Anyway, I went to L.A. and we started the film.
Did you have Barbara, this was just her. I don't know if she was still married to Elliot Gould, but she had a history of having flings with her leading men like Omar Sharif, Ryan O'Neal. I believe What's Up, Doc? In this movie came out at the same time, Up the Sandbox. And did you find her attractive?
Yeah, I thought she was wonderful. Now, What's Up, Doc? May have come out before.
Yeah.
It was made right before Up the Sandbox. Okay. Anyway, no, Barbara was wonderful. We had a great time.
You had chemistry, love scene, hubba, hubba, hubba. You really did. The two of you had chemistry.
Yeah, well, we got along. I liked her very much. Everything was, how can we make the best film we can possibly make? And that's all she ever wanted to do, make a good film.
Yeah, because this was her first in the producer's spot. And I read that she thought that this was one of her best performances ever.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. She loved this movie.
I still like the movie. I haven't seen it in many
You should
many.
Check it out. It's so, I love it.
I should check it out.
Yes, yeah. You'll love it. And you were so cute. What can I say?
Anyway, we did the film, and we came back to New York and did some scenes here. So all in all, I had a wonderful time. I still have the album she gave me, and she signed it on the outside, wrote me a little note on the inside. And anyway, it was very special. I never had one cross word. Everything was...
Because she could be a diva, but it didn't happen with you. It was all...
Not at all.
But I think you're very,
I can't imagine. She was so wonderful.
And you don't have... you're not Mr. Big Ego guy either. You know what I mean? You don't seem to be. You know what I mean? You go in, you want to do your work, you want to do a good job,
But you go into your work, and the thing of it is, you go into it because everyone wants the same thing. You want to make a good product. You want to make a good film, or you right. want the play to be good, or whatever.
Of course.
And so, and you respect everybody, and you listen to everybody around you, especially your fellow actor. You know, you just do. You have to work together, and respect each other, and then just knock on wood. And in the end, it we had a you know, we just, it was a good team.
What you've done a bunch of movies.
Erwin Winkler was a producer on that.
Oh, he also did The Towering Inferno and all those disaster flicks that came after.
Yeah. But Erwin was Erwin was terrific guy.
Also, you did Rich and Famous. Wasn't that George Cukor's last film that he directed?
Yeah. George came in and replaced a director on it.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, a famous director. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
But I hate not, because he was a lovely man, and I'm just not coming up with a name right now.
Why did they replace him?
I'm not, he may have just quit.
Oh.
It turned out that Jackie Bissett,
mm-hmm.
Jackie, maybe the film was taking too long to get developed. I don't know what the problems were. But Jackie Bissett was also a producer on the film.
Oh.
And I don't think Candy was, but just Jackie, but almost a silent producer. And whatever happened, I don't know, but I got a call one day and said Bob was leaving. And so I went, I thought that George Cukor, you know, should have his say about who he wanted in his film, after all.
Did he do Old Acquaintance? This was a remake of that film. Did he do that?
You mean, now who was in that?
Betty Davis and Miriam Hopkins.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, you know more about all of this than I do, kid.
Well, it's weird. I have this weird
anyway,
mind.
So I ended up went into a meeting with George.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, we had only done one scene in the film. That I can recall.
Oh.
And it was down in New York around the Statue of Liberty, out, you know, on land, but mm-hmm. it looked out that way. It was a very short scene. But then what happened was, during the midst of that, I was asked to do a play.
Oh boy, just the opposite. You're doing a movie.
When the film shut down and Bob quit, I'll come up because he's a dear man. The film, I got it, you know, they came to my dressing trailer or whatever and said, David, this film's, we're going to stop shooting. So, anyway, we did. I never thought about it. Then during when the film was just, I didn't know what was going on with it. But I was still under contract. But in the meantime, I had the offer of this film that Neil Simon had written. I mean, of a play. And so I was in a quandary. See, you're asking me all these questions.
Was it the one? Geez, I'm thinking about that time. 1980, 81. Not, geez, I wonder if it was chapter two.
No. Anyway, I don't know. I think a guy named, a friend of mine ended up doing it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. No, it wasn't chapter two. Didn't Marsha Mason do that?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't remember. I got a call suddenly and said, George Cukor wants to meet you. So I remember that because the meeting was up near Columbus Circle in New York. And I went in to see George. And the first thing he said to me was, I like your hair. Well, by now, my hair.
You have beautiful hair.
My hair had grown out. Yeah. It was longer.
Yeah.
And he said he liked that. And so he and I got along and he wanted me to do it. And I said, that would be terrific. And Jackie called me and said, that's wonderful. And so we started on the film with myself and Jackie and Candy. And it was a lovely, lovely time.
You loved Candace Bergen, didn't you? You had a great time with her.
Oh, yeah. Candace is wonderful. She's terrific.
You played her hubby, right?
I played her hubby, yeah.
And Jacqueline Bisset played her best friend. And she mm-hmm. was, were they both authors?
Yeah, I guess I can.
I can't because that's what old acquaintance was. I'm trying to think. And yeah. You fall in love with Jacqueline and Candace. But it, of course she can't be with you because Candace is her best friend, even if she drives you crazy. Yeah. Did you like Jacqueline as well?
Oh, yeah. Jacqueline and I, we'd pal around. I'd go up to her house a couple times, She was very sweet. Years later, I'm doing an episode of Ally McBeal. And I have no idea. I look up, and I have no idea. And who's sitting across from me in this room is Jackie. She was also doing it.
How cool. Did you have a little reunion, go to lunch or something?
Yeah, we basically just said, hello, how are you, and that. But one of the exciting things for me that happened, George Cukor, George was what a special guy. He said a couple of wonderful things to me. He said something about, and they told me I couldn't direct men. And then one time I was raising this, he said, asking him this or that. And he'd say, oh, how quickly they turn. And then got along great, again. And, he was asked to direct I'm going to get this straight, and I'm not sure I do. I got to go back and get my history because I love all the old showbiz.
Me too. That's what my podcast is about.
I love the old movies. I think I was just seeing, what was it, that one with Cary Grant? He was just unbelievable with, I think it was Dinosaur. Doris Day.
Oh, that Touch of Mink?
Touch of Mink.
Isn't that a riot?
Oh, God. And Grant, just with a look.
He's fabulous. I love that movie. Very funny.
Yeah. Anyway, it's wonderful. Anyway, so I can't remember what I was talking about.
Georgie.
Cukor. And George, we got along fine. And then one day we were shooting at MGM, I think. And George, just a couple of lovely things. That's right, it was MGM. So one day, a limo pulls up, or a car pulls up, and I happened to be going out of the stage door, and it was Elizabeth Taylor, who had come to see George. And so I walked her in and showed her where George was, and all of that.
How is Elizabeth?
All she just said, hello, nice to see you, nice to meet you, that's all. She was very nice in my brief hello to her. But anyway, during that time at MGM, one day, George says, we're going to go to lunch, me and George and Jackie. Mm-hmm. And so we go to the MGM commissary. And it's full. It is full. And there's no place to sit. And Jackie and I said, well, let's just sit out here in the larger, dining area where people were. And he said, no, we're going to eat in the executive dining place. So we waited. And sure enough, they arranged tables. And we were escorted in, and we all three sat down at a table. They had been having a board meeting, I guess, in there. And as folks would leave, and the one person they all came, of course, would say hello to George. Cary Grant came out.
Wow.
Was leaving. And George says that they greet each other and talk to each other. And George introduces us to Cary Grant and everything. So then Cary leaves. And George said something about Cary. The only reason Cary goes to the racetrack, I don't know if it was Santa Anita or down south, wherever it was, he goes to the racetrack because they feed him lunch.
He's notoriously cheap.
And then Cary, I heard Cary say, I didn't hear him directly, but somebody told me. Cary said, who told me this? The only thing George Cukor ever was a script supervisor. And that's all he'll ever be. Something like that.
Years later, go on.
Oh, no. It's all right.
No, I just wanted to know what you thought of Cary.
On that note, years later, I'm writing up, we're writing up to Las Vegas in a private plane at Lorimar Productions. By now, I'm doing a show called Falcon Crest. And we were invited to come up because Merv Adelson's father had done some very nice things in Vegas. He helped build a hospital and a couple of other things. Mm-hmm. And Merv's father, I believe they owned a grocery store at one time over in Beverly Hills, and one of the fellows named Bugsy Siegel would drop in and convinced Merv's dad to move to Vegas and help. You know, they were really building up Vegas at that time. Anyway, we're going up there because it's a special tribute to Merv's father, and they schedule this plane, and who comes up on the plane is Cary Grant. And I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe Diane Cannon, you'll know more about this than I will.
No, because they were to, was she his wife?
I have no idea.
Is this when he had the really gray hair and the black glasses?
I don't know. I don't remember.
So he came in with a woman.
Yeah. All I remember is he was terrific. We said hello. And then I passed him in Vegas once in the hallway or something. But I just remember that because of how, you know, everyone was cordial and sort of talking on the way on the flight up to Vegas. So that was my brief encounter.
Brief encounter, that beautiful movie. With Cary Grant and with Elizabeth Taylor. And George.
Brief Encounter wasn't Brief Encounter, the English film.
Right. Trevor Howard and Celia Johnson. And people think it's like the biggest. That movie gets on my nerves. I don't think it's a great love story or sad because I think he's a cad. I feel that he's a cad. Yes.
Yeah.
Did you ever see it? Good movie.
Is it on a train?
Yes, they meet at a train station, and a lot of it goes on during that. Yes.
I think that was a David Lean film.
Yes, it was a David Lean film.
Yes, oh God, my mind has.
See, you're going. You got it. You're going strong here.
But I love those films.
Me and too.
I love the Cary Grant films and all of that. Anyway.
So you enjoyed George. You thought he was a riot. George. You know what? George appreciated a good-looking hunk of man, and you were one of those, too. You were talented and handsome, so believe me, I think George was flirting a little with you.
I don't know about that.
What's wrong with that? I think it's cute. I'm sure.
But George was also a dear friend of a somebody that I admired. And so much so that I once went out of my way because I heard she lived down there on 30th Street on the east side in New York.
Catherine Hepburn?
Yeah, Catherine Hepburn. And George was a good friend of hers.
So. Hers and Spencer. Spencer lived in her.
And didn't you love Spencer?
Yes. Yes. I just did a podcast on Spencer Tracy and Catherine Hepburn. And Spencer always lived in hotels. And you know, he wasn't with his wife. But, you know, they had two kids. They never divorced. But he lived, George Cukor, on his property.
George had a little guest
house. Cottages. There. Yeah, a little guest house. Right. And that's where he lived. So did you ever meet Catherine or no?
No. Not that. And I would remember that.
Yeah, she lived, you were in the wrong neighborhood. She lived on 49th between 2nd and 3rd.
East side, okay. Right. But it was on the east side,
yes.
Wasn't it?
She lived in a lovely townhouse. Paul and Joanne Woodward had a place around there as well.
Joanne Woodward?
Yes, Paul.
That one I had been to.
How about, did you ever hang out with her and Paul?
Oh, yeah. I did plays. In fact, going back to Up the Sandbox, well, this is before Up the Sandbox. I was doing a play with Joanne.
Which one?
Joanne Woodward.
I know Joanne Woodward.
The Children's Hour.
Oh, wow. And
years before that.
You played the doctor.
Yeah. Years before that, we did it at the Berkshire Theater Festival.
Fun.
Up in Mass.
Mm-hmm. Williamsburg.
Yeah. Years before that. No, this was in Williamsburg. Oh, God. It's where the Martha Washington Inn is, a little town right there. And anyway, it's the Berkshire Theater Festival. Mm-hmm. So years before that, I was doing, let's see, I'm trying to go back now. Help me out. Where were we? I was talking about Joanne.
And that you guys did the Children's Hour, but you had met her prior.
Oh, Dark Shadows.
No way.
Here's what happened. I get a call one day at the studio. And it's from Joanne Woodward. And I get on the phone, hello. And she said, David, I thank you for taking my call. She says, but this is not for me. It's for my mother. My mother is a big fan. Can she come to the studio and watch you film? I said, of course. Now, Grace, out of that, then her mother came to the studio. I escorted her around.
Oh, how cute.
Out of that time, her mother and I and Chippy became great friends. And Joanne. So we became great friends. My Chippy and would take my son up to visit them up where they lived in Connecticut.
Where they lived? They lived in that nice community, sort of an artist community. Westport.
Westport?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that developed. And then was her mother's friendship, dear friendship. And so Joanne, one day where I'm doing something and Joanne recommends me to a fellow named, he lived not too far from me. At that time I was living on 74th Street on the west side. Mm-hmm. And this man's name was Cyril Richard. I don't know whether you recall Cyril Richard.
The name is familiar.
He was, I believe in Peter the Pan, he was Captain Hook. Is that it? Yeah. Anyway, Cyril had a townhouse or something on Central Park Drive. You know, the one goes up by the park.
Central Park West, or
yeah, Central Park West.
Yeah.
Anyway, she had recommended me for a play. Joanne had up at Stratford, Connecticut, and the play was called The Devil's Disciple, and so Cyril hired me. So now, but I'm also doing Dark Shadows. So I was trying to, go up there every day after Dark Shadows finished and do my play up there.
Was Joanne in that with you or no?
No, no. lovely actress, Jill Clayburgh.
Oh, God, Jill Clayburgh. She became a huge star.
Yes, she did. Jill was wonderful.
Yeah, she died very young. She didn't cancer, breast cancer.
Yes, she was, she was married to the man, David
Rabb.
David Rabb, who wrote Sticks and Bones, a play that I did.
The one that you killed yourself every night.
Yeah.
That must have been depressing.
I was so depressed.
I
so bet. Then, okay, we'll switch forward. Joanne says, let's do a play. So I was free. We went up and we did the Children's Hour. So by now I'm doing Sticks and Bones. This is right before Barbara's the film.
Right.
I'm doing Sticks and Bones, getting depressed every night because I'm committing suicide. And people were fainting in the audience right in front of me. And so I did the play, was doing the play. And who decides to come and see it is Joanne and Paul.
Ooh la la.
Because Paul, I got to know a little bit because doing the play with Joanne. And he even had a beer for me one day backstage.
He loved his beers. Do you drink a beer? Did you drink it?
Yeah. I mean, I like a cold beer on a hot day.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had a great time up there while we were doing Children's Hour. But now I'm back in New York and Joanne and Paul. So I meet them in the lobby of the Public Theater after the play. And Joanne comes out first and she said, Paul didn't like it. And I understand why. It's a difficult play.
Right.
And he kind of commits suicide. Anyway, he tells me about Hollywood. He says, he knows I'm going to do this film with Barbara.
Yeah.
And he says, don't let him eat you up out there. You get yourself right back here. Now, those are his, as best as I can remember, those were his exact words. Don't let him eat you up out there. You get yourself right back here after you've finished, wrapped. So that was it. Joanne and I stayed in touch for years and years. I haven't been in touch with her in the last few years. But anyway, so then from there, that's when I went and you brought up the initial question when I did the play with Babs or the film. And from that play, then I flew to L.A. to start that film.
With the Babster. Yes. And it is a good film. You've got to watch it. It comes on TCM a lot. And, well, not a lot. But so does.
Yeah, somebody told me not long ago they saw it. You know.
It was me.
Oh.
And you asked me how I liked it. I said, how
you know what you're dealing with here.
Oh, it was me. What'd you think of Paul and Joanne? Did they have that kind of connection that's written about, this true friendship, love story? Do you believe?
Paul and Joanne. Paul was born in Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Joanne.
Woodward.
Woodward. Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward are two of the... I don't know what to say.
Most down-to-earth, nice people.
The two most beautiful people.
I love them.
Had the occasion to be friends with.
Was he as handsome as he looks?
Well, you know, I'm a guy.
You can't notice. I notice a beautiful woman, and I like men. Yeah. I can notice, you know.
He was... Yes, he was a very handsome man. No, they were just wonderful. And what was wonderful is that, I don't know. Years later, Joanne sends me a note backstage. I'm in D.C., Washington, D.C., doing a play at the Shakespeare Theater. And with Kelly McGillis. Do you know Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Kelly and I are doing it. And I get a note. Joanne sends me a note backstage. Said, David, I didn't know you could do comedy like that. She said so. She was so And so that was wonderful. And she was had just been there for, you know, a couple of days. And she came to see the play, and I had no idea.
How sweet. I love those two. I'm doing a podcast on them. I love them. You know, they have a, what I admired about the relationship, and this is what I've read that Joanne said and Paul said, that they respected. I mean, he loved car racing. She could care less. They gave each other the freedom to explore their hobbies and other interests that they didn't have together. And then they'd come together with a marriage and children and things. And I think that's what makes a marriage really great. And look at you and Chip. You guys are.
I rented, I subleased, I guess I paid for Paul's daughter, an apartment in L.A. When I was out here once. It was years ago. Many years ago, his other daughter, you know, or the daughter
from the first marriage,
the Paul Newman, that one. But the other, you know, the Newman charities, they put out. You know, if you, I to this day, I'm loyal, brother. I drink Newman coffee.
Do you have their popcorn?
You know, because all that money goes to nonprofits, goes to charities.
Want to hear something kind of sad that I'm going to tell you? When Paul died, he left his children a certain amount of money, millions, and he wanted the rest to go for his charity. And Joanne now, poor Joanne, has Alzheimer's. I don't know if you knew that.
Maybe that's why I haven't been able.
That's why. Yeah, she does. And the kids are going behind because and trying to get the money. More money instead of it all going to the charity because Joanne can't do anything about it. And I just hate that. I mean, he specifically said, this is this. How much do you need? You know, he's a, I don't get it. Anyway, it made me very sad. But
I don't know. All I know is.
You're loyal. You drink his coffee. I didn't even know he had coffee.
But they were wonderful. And Joanne and I remained friends. And she said in an article once, I get emotional, when her mother, she realized her mother was in trouble when she couldn't remember me.
Oh.
David. And.
She had Alzheimer's, her mom, huh?
I don't know.
Or dementia or whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, but I can't tell you how special that friendship was to me, all the way from being invited down to their townhouse to just talk and, hey, let's do this. That's, what do you think? I can't tell you, Grace, what her friendship. And, you know, Joanne, she took me to the dance up there in, is it Wolf Trap? Wolf Trap, or not Wolf Trap, but they have the dance thing up in the Berkshires. The name of it, doggone it. Anyway,
well, they have Lennox, where they have the music.
It was
what's
over
it
there.
Called? Think of it. And I'm from Massachusetts.
I went over there.
And they go to the Berkshires.
We went over there together to watch a dance performance, and a lot of times we would just talk. I can remember one time. Joanne telling me, you know, back in those days when Paul was just whatever, I mean, he would get every script written. If it was a woman's role for a woman, they told him, don't worry, we'll change it. If the woman, do you know what I mean? If the lead was a woman. So he was offered, oh my God, I can't imagine, you know, but he was. And, anyway, but
how nice. And it was so sweet that you had never spoken to her before when she called you on Dark Shadows, had you?
No.
How sweet. And you were so nice to her mother. You know, you never forget that. And then, you know, she becomes your friend. You become friends with the mom.
Friend.
Because, you know, you were heartthrob for all the ages. You were in Tiger Beat, for goodness sakes.
You remember Tiger Beat?
No, I was looking at all pictures that had you, Jonathan
you mean
Frid.
16 Magazine?
Oh,
do you know
something.
Who that was? Do you know who Gloria Stavers was?
No.
She owned six. Yeah, she ran 16 magazines.
But all those Teen Dream ones, you were in it, Jonathan Frid. It went the whole age gamut, and then it went down to the little boy, who you, Jack. What's his name? The little boy, David. I don't
David.
Remember. Yeah.
Hennessy.
Yes. Yes. So it was very funny and a wonder. And you were so nice. It's so nice. I didn't know you had such a nice friendship with Joanne. I just love her and I love him. And I'm sure I would have loved her mother too.
Oh, God, yes. God, yes. When Joanne was little, her mom took her to see the Gone with the Wind premiere.
They went down to Atlanta?
Yeah. And when I guess it was Gable who got out of the car, and Joanne screams, "There's Heathcliff! There's Heathcliff!"
She got her confused with Lawrence. Well, Lawrence did. They came out the same year.
Well, maybe it was. Yeah. So who did Heathcliff? That was Larry.
Lawrence Olivier did Heathcliff. Yeah. And I could always imagine you. You should have done Heathcliff. You should have done it. I can just see you as that.
I loved Heathcliff.
Me too. What a wonderful, Wuthering Heights. What a wonderful stuff. It's been remade a zillion times. And I could just see you being Heathcliff, brooding. You know, just in love with your Kathy, but brooding. The stable boy. You would have been perfect. But That's I was going to ask you the question. Now, you've done some new Falcon Crest. I don't know if I think you told me you had an affair with Gina Lola Brigida on the show.
No, I don't think they did. No.
But she was hot for you.
Well, she invited. Yeah. I mean,
in real life.
No. She did invite me to Italy once.
Ooh,
but
la
no,
la.
She, but again, and we all had dinner. Chip and I had dinner or lunch with her one time. But no, she was, again, terrific. But that was a lovely thing about that show, you know.
You had so many great stars on that show.
Yeah, I did. I did. Great, you know, from Kim Novak to Jane Greer to E.G. Marshall.
Mel Ferrer.
Mel Ferrer.
Lana.
Cliff Robertson. Who'd you say?
Wasn't Lana Turner on it as well?
Lana signed books for my mom and dad.
Her autobiography?
Yeah, I still have her books. And, of course, Jane Wyman.
And you got along well with Jane, right?
Yes. You know something? I don't recall ever not getting along
with anybody. Well, that's good. That's something good to say.
Grace, you know.
Lorenzo Lamas.
Lorenzo and I are still friends. Lorenzo's in New York.
I thought he's doing helicopter piloting here.
That's right. Yeah.
I'd love to get him on the show and ask him. Yeah. Why didn't he get you knocked up? Because he knocked up everybody else. Let's say everybody but Jane Wyman, practically. He was such a devil. He really was. Yeah. Did you know this fact? When Jane Wyman, she was very religious, and when she died, I read this, that she was dressed as a novice in the Catholic Church, like a nun. The hat and the outfit when she was buried. Did you know that?
Uh-huh. Well, she was very close, you know. Her, one of the preachers, and Jane and I would have a little glass of wine in the evening, and Father Bob was on our show, and she had brought him on to the show. So I knew that she was very, you know.
She was very devout. She would go every morning to church. Loretta Young, and all those other people.
Oh, you know, I told you that story, didn't I?
No.
They would trade Loretta. They would trade leading men. Did you get along with him? Is he all right? Is he good? Yes, all right.
Who,
he's
Jane and Loretta?
Show. Yeah. Jane Wyman, yeah. They would, say, okay. I'll bring him. I'll hire him to be on my show.
How was Kim Novak? She seems very shy. Was she?
I can't say I became, you know.
Chums. Pally-wally.
Chums, yeah. Pal. But we were. We did get along. And we talked. And her husband was wonderful.
Oh, I love him. He's like a veterinarian, a horse guy.
A veterinarian. That's yes. how they met.
Yes, for her horse.
And she was special. And I tell you, what a strong lady and a wonderful again. And they moved up there. She moved up there. You know, she left.
Yes. You know, she left Hollywood. They didn't leave her. Yeah. No, I like her. And also, I'm sure, how is Lana? Even though she signed books for your parents, did she and Jane get along? Because I don't think they ran in the same circles. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, there was always rumor. They may have not gotten along all the time, but they were professional enough to get along, you know, to do the shows
yes.
and get them done.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, Lana may have been a little tardy coming out of the dressing room a couple of times.
You're kidding.
But Lana's daughter,
Cheryl,
was just terrific. And she...
is this before she wrote the book?
Yes. She's the one who came to me. One of them. How many daughters? Is it Cheryl?
She only has one. She had... Yeah. She married. She had... was... Josh was like...
Anyway, she told me that Lana liked me. And we got... You know, so again, I had no trouble with Lana.
Well, Lana likes the men, and let's face it, I think you could have been number eight if you were willing. You're cute, let's face it.
Hey.
Because you get older doesn't mean you're blind. You can't see cute. Cute is cute, let's face it. No matter what.
As far as I know, the old thing of Lana being discovered on the bar stool in the drugstore on...
Drinking a soda pop.
Yeah, I don't think that holds up. I think Lana told me no, that wasn't true.
She was gorgeous.
Or her daughter told me that. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Her daughter lived.
Lana was very sweet to me, signed a book to my mother, and I've still got the book.
Such a glamorous star. She really was.
Oh,
she was
God.
A glamour
Can you imagine?
Deluxe.
For a while, she lived over there. On Pico, right by 20th Century Fox. They had a place. Anyway, she was, again, I just...
You were lucky. You got some really great people you met and worked with. And I was thinking, now you were on NCIS this year with Mark Harmon, correct?
No, not with Mark.
Oh, because I was thinking you were doing it with Mark because you were on Flamingo Road together with him all those years ago.
Flamingo Road together. We're good friends. But Mark does the one up here.
You're in Miami, New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Who was the head guy there?
Yeah. Who was the head guy? Jake. He does a lot of Ford's Theater. He's also special there. God, you're putting my pressure on me.
Forget it. Okay. Now I'm forgetting what I asked you, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, Jake was terrific, and I also did...
Chicago Hope. I saw you.
Chicago Hope, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was terrific.
And you did two very good movies that I saw. Loon Lake, you played two parts. You played this preacher. Did we ever get that? Were you good or bad as a preacher? Because there's sort of two stories going around. And Catherine, you did a wonderful scene, and it was my favorite part in the movie. You and Catherine Lee Scott.
Yes.
Played husband and wife in the flashback in the first role you did.
Right.
Wonderful. It was so nice seeing you, and the acting was superb.
Yeah. He was wonderful. Hold on. Can you hold a second?
Sure.
Oh, you know.
Well, we are going to keep you on a cliffhanger because David has to go. But yeah. I have more questions. So well, we'll have a follow-up on this. And thank you so much for coming on, David. And thanks for giving me so many great scoops. I loved it. People are going to love this. And I miss you. Thank you so much for coming on.
I'll catch up. We'll catch up later then.
Okay. Bye, David. Thanks a zillion. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I love him. Anyway, he had to go. It was all of a sudden we were doing it, and we were talking 10 minutes prior to doing the show, so we had had a good hour. Anyway, I love David, and he gave us some good true stories of Tinseltown, and we have more to do, so I'm sure he'll be back, because this was like an unexpected ending. It was sort of like boop, boop, boop. And thanks, everybody, and I will be back with some great guests. I have a woman coming up who knew Elvis, dated Frank Sinatra for 2 years. After Mia, what a life she had. Men's and life and groovy stuff. So everybody be safe. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends if they love classic films, Dark Shadows, anything. Come listen to the show. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate you listening. Bye.